This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text, 252-582-5028.
That's right. And you can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We're going to leave a couple of links right down there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
That's right. It's something that we are begging the lost world to come to Christ, because we know and we have seen what comes of disobedience, what comes of that final judgment. And it's not something that we want anybody to gamble with. So really, when we go and we proselytize and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, in a sense, you are begging people to come to their senses on behalf of Jesus.
And God has chosen us for that mission. I mean, God is so much more capable and competent than we could ever hope to be.
That's right.
But he has chosen to work through us as his ambassadors. So it's not just we are saved from sin. We are saved into the family of God, and we are saved onto the mission of God.
That's right.
And that gives us purpose. That gives us a direction in life.
That's exactly right. And if you like these verses every single day that we give you on the Clearview Today Show, you can actually have them come right to your phone. The show is sponsored by the Date the Word app. You can get it for free right now on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you.
Even on Monday.
Even on Monday, man. I was going to say, I was hoping you'd introduce yourself as Pinky. I'm liking
Pinky,
that shirt.
You like it?
Yeah. I kind of do. It takes a real, I'll tell you, it takes a real man to wear pink.
I like pink. I've accumulated a few pink shirts over the years. What's really good, though, I don't really have one right now, but when you get like that summer tan, mm-hmm. that looks really nice with a light pink shirt.
Yeah, a lot of people of your, shall I say, complexion, mm-hmm. it's hard for them to get a tan.
Yeah.
You've got real dark, hairy arms, mm-hmm. and so I feel like it looks really good. It does make you look a little bit more tan, but then the pink brings it out nice. See, I've got like the dark blue, but I'm peacocking a little bit because I want the chest hair to kind of do for my chest what it's doing for your arms, which is make it look bigger, a little bit more masculine. So
sure.
That's just kind of where I'm at. I might actually go another button down.
I'm
just
probably wouldn't
see what's up.
I probably wouldn't.
We got a segment today. All the small things. This is one of our most popular segments. People are writing in and been telling them what some of their little things in life are. All the small things is our segment that we do every week where we just talk about some of the little things in life that God has given us to enjoy. I don't know if this is something that I enjoy as much as I'm just really interested in, but my son, Gavin, is like me in almost every single way. Mm-hmm. Almost spitting image of what I was like as a kid, what I looked like as a kid. With one huge difference. He wants to spend all his time outside.
Mm.
He is a child.
He loves to play outside.
He loves playing outside. I don't know what it is, because when I was a kid, my mom was like, no, we're not playing outside. We're going to sit in the house and we're going to put a puzzle together and we're going to do a book and you can have a cup of juice and you can sit quietly.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't grow up playing outside at all. Gavin can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
He cannot get enough. He stays outside all day. I know there's like a bunch of boomers and older people listening to the show. They're like, that's right. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He's three.
Yeah.
Which means I got to be outside too.
Right. So you can't just turn him loose outside.
Yeah. I can't just turn him loose and let him go. So my parents actually got him one of those little sandbar things. It's like a little plastic thing that has a bunch of compartments with sand.
Yeah.
When I say he will play out there from sun up to sundown, I genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
He will not come inside. There was a lot of times where mom and dad were not outside with us, and there was going outside by ourselves was just absolutely out of the question.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Like I said, putting a puzzle together, watching TV, just kind of being inside, playing with toys inside, but a lot of inside stuff going on. So I don't know where, I guess from Ellie he got it, because I think Ellie would go outside and stay away for days on end.
So it's interesting that you say that, because I have a similar experience with both of my boys.
Mm-hmm.
We are very much alike. They are very, sweet and kind of tenderhearted, and we're alike in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. However, there's one glaring difference with both of my boys.
Yeah.
They are both very athletic.
Yeah.
And I played sports as a kid, but I was not a super athletic kid. I was more kind of artistic into the arts and music and drama.
Yeah.
But they're both they sort of just naturally take to sports. I don't know where they got that from.
I'm interested.
Somewhere in our genes, I guess.
I'm interested to see how Gavin does, because I was artistic, but I was also more just quiet, tech. Just video games, books, bookish. Mm-hmm. I was real bookish as a kid. So I'm interested to see if Gavin, doing this love outside, wants to get into sports, or if he just, I don't know. I'm just kind of interested to see where it will go.
Yeah. Right. I'm interested to know the differences between Dr. Shaw and how his kids have.
Yeah, I wonder what childhood was like in India growing up. I don't suppose there was a lot of inside opportunities.
Well, and what was similar for him and what was different for his kids.
Yeah, let's see.
Let's ask him when we bring him in. Those of you who are parents out there, what differences are you seeing in your kids as they're growing up? Are they outside kids? Are they inside kids? How does that compare to you when you're growing up? Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abhinavshah.com. Dr. Shah, we had a great time with Dr. Questions last time, but it's good to have you back.
Yes, good to be back in the studio.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Have you ever met Dr. Questions?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I thought.
That's what I was saying. Sometimes he comes into the show and he answers questions, and we don't want to.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, but we let him in because he usually smells nice, and I feel like he probably could beat me up.
Absolutely.
We were talking in the intro earlier about how my son is so unlike me as a kid. That's what I looked like, but he couldn't be more different in the fact that he just loves playing outside.
Yeah.
And this is a side of Gavin I never knew. And now that the summertime is here, he's asking me constantly, can we go up to the church? Can we go to the Clearview? I want to play on the playground.
Oh.
Non-stop every single Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I love going outside. I mean, I'm an indoors person.
Mm-hmm.
So going outside to me is like a treat. Mm. Let's go outside. Let's hang out. And with our kids, we try to encourage them to do that. Growing up now, I loved being outside, playing cricket, playing soccer, going swimming, 4 o'clock in the morning in the river, stuff like that. So I loved doing that, playing outside in the garden. We had a garden in front of our house.
We talked about it before on the show where it's like, in India, the summers would get so hot, but is it like so hot that you can't do anything outside, or is it like we live here, we're used to it?
No, you cannot do anything.
Really?
Mm. Especially somewhere about 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're done. Yeah. Don't go outside. And we're talking about in the summer
here. Right, right,
you
right.
will die of sunstroke.
Golly, that's insane.
Yeah. Sunstroke.
Wow.
And we've talked about this on this show before, that we would carry an onion in our pocket. Not sure what the onion's supposed to do.
A whole onion? Like a big
whole onion in
so
our pocket.
So did it like bulging out of your pocket?
Yeah, you carry that. I don't know what that means, but that's what we did.
Was that your mom or your grandma?
Mostly my grandmother.
Was it supposed to ward off overheating?
There's something to it. Like people really swore by it. It was not even like an old wives' tale kind of thing. Because I mean, I get that. It's like, that's got nothing to do with anything. This was like if you ended up getting high fever, they would take onion and crush it and then rub it all over your body.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard of like put the onion on the sole of your foot and like put a sock on your foot.
See?
I have heard of that.
See?
I've never heard of that. But there are, I'm looking at news articles. Onion, does onion, onion help you avoid heat stroke?
Onion is good.
And what does
you?
It say?
this is just the first Google response. It says, so of course we sought the most authoritative source on the subject, a nutritionist, Dr. Sheila Swarnakamuri, a dietitian at Frontier Lifeline Hospital. There's nothing based in scientific fact that onion helps combat heat in the summer. But there seem to be people disagreeing with her. Yeah. But I didn't even know it was a thing.
Does she
thing.
Say that it does help?
Oh, here you go. Can carrying help. An onion in your pocket.
Which one? That one there?
Back up.
Oh, back up this way?
Yeah.
And stay that?
Right here. Can carrying an onion.
Onions for summer. This
this is a thing.
It's a thing.
This is,
nothing else.
In India, it was a thing.
Yeah, you might be. This is insane. You might have probably been told by an elder at home to carry an onion bulb around. Look at the size of it. Every time you head out in the sun to protect yourself against heat stroke. Wow.
Yeah, I don't understand anything about that. But
you didn't even slice it? You had to walk around with a big onion just bulging.
Now, I didn't do it every time.
Yeah.
But I do remember many, many times carrying that onion in my pocket.
Wow. That's interesting.
Headed to, 'cause usually when I was in middle school, high school, school was in the morning. Mm-hmm. So from 7 to about 12:30 was school. And then you get out. And then elementary school began the same school, same classrooms, but now it's elementary school. Mm. And they would start at 1 o'clock and go until 5:30, something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So elementary school kids can sleep in and come into the same school. Middle school, high school goes in early. Mm. But then in the afternoon, we would have special classes that you could go. The same teachers that you have in school would have these classes where you would learn advanced math, advanced science, advanced literature, grammar, those kind of things. So you would go, I mean, for a fee.
Yeah.
Special classes, what you call them, or tuition, special tuition. Mm-hmm. And so come home, eat lunch, 2 o'clock, leave the house, 2:30, your tuitions begin. And there was, I knew guys in school who were going from tuition to tuition. Mm-hmm. So where are you headed now? Well, physics. After that, chemistry. After that, biology.
Wow.
After that, English. After that, algebra. Mm-hmm. After that, geometry. When do you get home? It was about 6:37.
Wow.
That's insane. In the evening.
Back to back to back to back.
So this is after they've already gone to school in the morning.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. I did about 3 at one time.
Yeah.
And some actually do study. Others go and goof off.
Really?
Yeah. They go because it's a bunch of friends. Yeah. We're hanging out with the friends again, and there's the professor from school, and he's there teaching, going over the homework that you got. So you get to do the homework right here.
Mm.
So you go to tuition and special class, and you actually do the homework.
Yeah.
So he helps you work out the very problems he assigned. Those who don't go to tuition, don't get to work it out.
Hmm. Yeah.
They got to show up next day and hopefully they worked it out somehow.
Wow. Now here's something I did find.
But I mean, the reason I said that sometimes it was like at 2 o'clock, we would leave the house and it's just like the sun is blaring down on you.
I can't imagine that.
And I would have a hat on and you go through and then the heat, it's like a heat wave.
Did the hat look cool?
No, no, you don't. This is not a baseball hat.
Yeah, no,
this
it's is like a sun hat.
Sun hat. Yeah. At
wide
that point, brim.
We're just trying to protect from the sun.
Yes, yes.
So according to medical science, the volatile oils present in onions help regulate body temperature and also therefore the onion absorbs some heat from your body. So it's like pulling heat out of your body.
There you go.
Wow.
There
it is.
Let me ask you this, because I know you're a hunter and this is kind of what we were talking about today. Would you carry an onion in your pocket if you're going hunting?
Like in the summer in India?
Yeah, sure. Oh, no, just today.
No. That would be weird.
Yeah.
The things that I carry in my pocket when I go hunting is like, of course, my license, permit, whatever. And, you know.
Yeah. The reason we're asking water. Is because someone wrote into the show to ask the doctor questions because they heard through the grapevine that you were a turkey hunter.
Yes.
And I think people, I don't think that they are in shock, but it's just... It's not a you're a scholar, you know. You're a scholar and a preacher, and so it's an
typically two worlds that don't intersect.
Yeah, it's an unusual activity for. I mean, I guess down real country pastors would do it, but typically you see a doctor, a PhD, and they're not out in the woods hunting deer and hunting turkeys and stuff. But you actually went turkey hunting this morning.
Yes, with my son.
Yeah.
As you guys know, I grew up in India, and we didn't hunt.
Yeah.
Now, there were people in our church who hunted, as I've talked about it before. My dad grew up hunting. Mm-hmm. He grew up hunting tigers.
That is insane.
I just, like, the more you share about your dad, the more I'm really ready to read a story about his life.
I know.
Like, converted from Islam, used to hunt tigers, pastor, worked with Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Like, such a fascinating
guy.
All.
Well, he hunted tigers with his father, who was police commissioner in India. And of course, you know, in that time period, they had guns and they had the access to go hunting. And, you know, as I shared about, he took a British officer with him hunting and he sort of wet his pants.
Yeah, not even sort of, just, he just straight up did it.
Yeah, tiger 100%. In the jungle, you're going to wet your pants too.
Yeah,
yeah, so I'd do it.
I heard stories about that. But coming to America, I came to Georgia for college. And I would hear about my roommates going hunting. So I was like, hunting? What do you hunt? They said, well, we hunt deer, we hunt turkey or whatever. I don't know what they hunted. And so I was like, wow, I would love to do that one day. So yeah, I mean, it'll take you one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened. And then I met Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And her father, Pastor Jerry, who became my mentor, was an avid hunter and fisherman.
That I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Pastor Jerry.
Yeah, if you ever go to Nicole's mama's house, massive deer heads everywhere.
Just all over the house.
And fish mounted and all that stuff. Yeah. So, so he's like, yeah, we need to go hunting one day. And then it never happened because I met Nicole in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in 95. And he passed away in 98.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So there was a time that he mentored me, but... Never got a chance to go hunting with him. But I remember him going with his church people and friends and all that. And I was like, man, I'm going to go. And he said, yes, we're going to go. And one day, soon. And then next thing you know, he has cancer. He passes away.
Wow.
Went to college. Went to a seminary. And in seminary, I had friends who hunted. And they're like, yeah, we need to take you hunting. Never happened. Came to
a
church
lot of
here.
Empty promises, man.
Yeah. And at church here, there were not any hunters there at the time, but then little by little, people started coming in and who loved to hunt. And they would be like, yeah, we need to take you out one of these days, man. We need to go. I promise you'll love it. Nothing.
Never.
Nothing. So I'm like, okay, I don't think this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then there was a gentleman who took me out hunting and I loved it.
When was that? When was your first hunt?
This was in 2000. Oh my goodness, 13 maybe.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think that's the year we met.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It was.
So that
it
was that was the very first one.
Yes, 2013, maybe even 12.
Yeah,
I think it was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I went, and of course. nothing happened. And he told me about, we went deer hunting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was, I'm like, where are they? I mean, I've seen them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not in the context of I'm here waiting on them.
Right.
So he told me all this stuff about how deer have this incredible sense of smell and they can smell you. So watch this, watch that. I'm like, okay, yes. Mm-hmm. And we are downwind right now. So we need to be careful and we do this and do that. Nothing. Mm. So I'm like, okay, so all these people go out and they don't see anything. They come back home.
Yeah.
How I don't know work? How this works.
I don't advise this guy. I don't advise listening to him, but Ron White used to have a bit on that. He was like, you know, I don't hunt at all. I despise hunting. And it's not because I'm morally opposed to it. It's just cold early. Nothing happens. Yeah. I don't want to go.
And I've done that. I've gone early in the morning, so dark out there that I could close my eyes and just follow this person and I'll get to the tree stand and just sit there.
You sit in the tree
and
stand.
And then just freeze to death.
Yep.
Like this is not fun. Why do people do this? And then I went back. I was like, okay, let me try again. And then I went back again with the gentleman. And then I was like, okay, I get it. So there are things you learn about how to know how to hunt, how to get in a tree stand, how to wait, how, you know, get in a blind, whatever. And then little by little, I went with different people. Mm-hmm. And then I actually went turkey hunting. And I killed a turkey.
Yeah.
Not the first time.
No, not the first time.
Not the first time. It was like, I went 2 years, nothing. And the guy told me, he's like, hey, you're going, but you got to put your time in. I'm like, okay.
How much time?
So when you get up in the morning at 4:30, and you drive for half an hour to get to this person's place at 5, and then you get everything ready, and then you walk to the blind or the tree stand and get in there, and they sit there until 8:30 day after day, week after week,
and you barely see anything, never shoot anything.
Yeah, it's like, okay,
yeah.
Like, what's my motivation for this again?
When does the fun start? Like, do I wait for the fun, or does the fun come to me? Or
yeah,
like,
how does this all work?
Yeah. It's kind of funny because it's such a popular activity here in the South, and my dad grew up doing it. I remember my dad getting all like geared up and wanting to go. And he would sprinkle, like, he had urine from, like, doe urine, and he would put it on his boots.
Yeah.
And I mean, he went all out, and I was like, that guy looks cool as mess. Like, I want to do that. And then I went with him when I was 12. We went twice, and I was like, I get it. I kind of was like you. I was like, okay, I get it. It's cold. We'll sit in the tree stand. Hopefully we see a deer. My dad, he didn't shoot one. So the third time I was like, I might sleep in. And that was kind of that was my hunting career. Yeah.
My dad didn't hunt when I was growing up. I mean, he's not a big hunter. But my uncle, his brother, huge hunter. I mean, huge.
This is in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
So we would go over to his house. I mean, he just kind of lived in camo gear, but he would have the deer heads mounted on the wall. Yep. I mean, he would, whenever we go over there, he'd fix like fresh game for us. Mm-hmm. So he was the big hunter in the family.
I grew up seeing that one. I don't know. He must have shot it before I was born or something, but there's a deer head that's been on the wall of our basement for
ages.
Oh, man. More than at least 30 something years.
Yeah. Wow. And this your dad's?
Yeah. It's one he shot. Yeah. He loved it. He always loved it. He can't do it as much anymore. I think he's gotten kind of old. It's hard for him to walk, but I remember him getting up in the morning and just being like gone. And like by the time I was waking up, he was coming back. And I remember the sight of him like unloading like his bow and his rifle and all that stuff. Yeah. So. It's a fun time. He loves it. But I think more than deer, he loves turkey.
Turkey hunting?
He loves turkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's something that you really like as well, because it's kind of the most difficult.
Yeah.
It's the most challenging.
I do like deer hunting, too. Don't get me wrong. I do like that because I like deer. I've hunted pretty religiously over the past 10 years now and killed many deer, but only one turkey.
Really? Mm.
Only one turkey. The turkey is difficult.
What's so difficult about it? Like, from someone, I've never been turkey hunting, but what is the most difficult part of turkey hunting that
sight.
Sets it apart? Just finding them?
No, I mean, they can see you.
Oh, I got you. Gotcha.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this. Their eyesight is like incredible.
Incredible. Deer, smell. Mm-hmm. Turkey, eyes.
They can see.
See, sight.
Wow.
And so you have to be careful. You have to get out there before daylight, and get in your blind. And wait on them, and you need to call them. You need to know how to call. Too much calling is not good.
Yeah, they start some question.
Suspicious. It's a very talkative turkey over there.
Yeah, I mean, these turkeys sometimes like are very smart because they've been, they're like, okay, you're calling me. You're the hen, and I gobbled. Why aren't you coming?
Yeah, true.
But if you're over here, like, still calling, it's like, no, that you're
that's
trying.
A good point. That's a good point. It's like they're doing a back and forth, but this one, this guy's not coming out at all.
This girl.
This girl. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. She's playing a little too hard to get.
Yeah. Something's up here. And they're not, you know, we say a lot of times that they're stupid animals, but a lot of times they really do get the better of us. They
turkey
know what's going on.
Hunting is to me more of a mind game. It's a mind game. Deer hunting, you just need to understand how that works, the sense of smell. I've known guys who've been going deer hunting, and they just know the sense of smell part is so good with them that they'll know exactly, like, the wind is going this way, I need to be over there, I need to watch this, watch that. And they come back with a deer. I'm like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
And then others are like, they got all the gear, all the boots, and all the guns and everything, and they come back with nothing.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand, okay, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True. I think, I mean, I like turkey, don't get me wrong, but more than anything, I love deer meat. I really like venison. It's so...
Yeah, I like venison better than turkey.
Yeah. But I see what you're saying.
The challenge of hunting the turkey. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how common this is. I'm sure it's common elsewhere, but in the South, I don't know how common it is because everyone does it. But there is this idea that people have that hunting is an immoral act because you're killing, so you're going out of your way to kill something. You are, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. Like, when, for me, I grew up that this is just what people do. Right. It's very normal.
Yeah. Right. I've heard people say that, like, killing without need, like, you can go to the store and get food. Why do you need to go out and kill the animals?
Yeah. I've heard that too. And to me, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but let me just first mention this. The Bible allows for hunting for food. And in Proverbs 12:27, it says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. So it almost assumes that you are going to hunt.
Yeah, that's a given. It's not even something the Bible addresses.
And I don't think everybody in ancient times was a hunter.
Right.
I believe there were hunters. There were people who hunted as a profession, and then they brought the food to the public. Then there were people who raised animals for food. So it's a lot of different ways that we can look at that. But in American life, hunting defines who we are.
True.
It's a spirit of going out into the nature and getting your own food. That's the idea behind hunting.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's hunting as sport as well, and it keeps the population down of the wild animals. At the same time, when you're paying your fees and all this, also conserving nature for the next generation. And here's what I found. Majority of the time, whether I was in Georgia or North Carolina now, most hunters actually have great respect for creation.
Most of them do.
That's a great point.
Yeah. There are some crazies out there. There always will be. But majority of them actually respect creation. They don't just go out there with a machine gun and just mow everything down.
Yeah.
How do you feel about people who are just opposed to killing outright? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, again, I know that these people must exist, and I don't know where they exist. I don't know that they really exist that much here.
Yeah.
But they're out there, and they say that they
killing
really
animals, you mean?
Well, just, yeah, killing animals, killing, I mean, I guess obviously killing people, but just killing is wrong and nobody ought to do
it. Yeah. Murder is wrong, of course, but killing, that's a different issue altogether. And I often, I am a little annoyed because those are the same people who enjoy the freedoms we have.
Yeah, that's right. True.
And yet they are, I'm nonviolent. Well, then maybe you need to go to a nonviolent country, which may not exist for very long.
Yeah.
Once people find out that you're nonviolent and you don't have anything, they'll take you over.
It means you're not going to fight back.
Yeah. But they enjoy the freedoms we have, and they refuse to support anything that requires taking up arms.
Right.
And it's, to me, it's a hypocrisy.
True. Yeah. As we close the episode, Dr. Shah, just one final question. What's your favorite part about hunting?
the memories.
Really?
Yeah. It's not the sport. I enjoy the sport part, you know, tracking things down, walking through the woods. But the best part is memories.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I learned that from a gentleman and his wife who were avid hunters. And when I say avid hunters, and he was very wealthy. Mm-hmm. They lived not very far from where we live in Granville County. And he passed away a few years ago. But he hunted all over the world.
Wow.
And legally, of course.
Yeah.
So I asked him the same question. And his answer was not, oh, I love the sport, or I love to track, or I love to do. No, it was memories.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because once you go hunting, then you come back with a story.
That's true.
Mm. Wow.
Like this morning, my son Nicholas and I, Nick and I, we went hunting. And we came back with a story.
Mm-hmm.
Nick got him. Nick of time, Nick got him.
There you go.
Very nice.
But now when we left, we had a story.
Yeah. That's right.
And I can remember the time. You remember the time? Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I love it. If you guys are hunters or fishers, or fisherwomen, let's be inclusive to everybody. If that's you, send us a picture of your best catch. We want to see it. Send it over to 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know what's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow, and more great content coming your way. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.